Thank you for listening to Cat's Tea and Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast's Instagram page at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft, and you can send an email at catsteaandwitchcraftpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 130. Today is an interview episode, so we are not going to go over a tarot card, but the guest is a tarot reader. So let's hop right into that interview. Okay, everybody, like I said, we have another guest today.
Hi, I'm Sky Miranda. I am a tarot reader, event organizer, and I specialize in like witchy seasonal parties and events that focus on artists.
That's really cool. And I was talking to Sky a couple minutes ago and was saying I've been following her on social media and seeing that she was more local to my area and how she's doing all these different tarot events at different areas. And I thought it was very interesting to kind of have her on as someone who's out in the community and not just in the capacity that I'm doing or just working within like a coven group, but someone who's participating in more of a public thing, but also posting on social media and kind of offering a service because you do tarot reading. Yeah. So today we're going to talk to her and we're going to just learn a little bit more about her experience and ask her some questions also about tarot. So let's start with you going over how you got into what you do today. So a little bit of your history.
Yeah, I first came across tarot as like a real thing when I was planning my trip to Salem, Massachusetts.
Salem's fun.
Yeah, I just wanted to go for like a spooky Halloween because I've always loved Halloween. Then when I was looking up things to do there, I was like, oh, people are like actually doing witchy stuff for real. And it came at a good time actually because then I went through a hard time like with my mental health all of a sudden. And witchcraft and tarot helped me, gave me a context of, oh, I matter. So I should like eat well and sleep and not only live off of alcohol and coffee. That's and so like meditating every day with my altar was how I got started.
Oh, that sounds very relatable for a lot of people. And for those who might be going through a similar experience, that's one reason to feel like you're not alone because many of us go through phases like that. Because being young or old, we all have these points to where when things just hit you and you realize, huh, maybe I should be doing something different. And then when you find something like a particular tradition or path, it for many people, it helps them evolve who they are and the things that they do. So how was your experience in Salem? Just because I know that's an interest point for some people. I haven't been since I was 12 years old and I keep trying to make trips, but then like life just gets in the way.
I mean, it was really fun. I love a commotion. I mean, so I like crowds. I went during Halloween, like October, but I also went pre-pandemic. So I think it's gotten like even more bigger since then. But I think it's really cool still. It is where I did my first ritual. You know, it did feel like a kind of spiritual journey in a sense, just to like go there and like experience all of that.
Was there a specific shop or anything there that you really liked or it's memorable?
Yeah, Witch House is one that is really nice because it's very modern. And so I got like a zine of medicinal teas and a zine about like Salem itself. And it felt like a very welcoming space.
Nice. Did you have, when it comes to tarot, did you have any experiences while using tarot or seeing other people with tarot or doing tarot while you were up there?
I did get a reading there. I tried to get more than one, but things book up quickly there.
They do.
But I remember the one I got, the only card I remember her pulling was the star card. And it was funny because I was much more gothy at the time. And she was like, you have like this like goth look you're going for, but really you're light and bubbly. And she's like, and with the star card, you know, it's kind of about how you have something that you're ready to like go out into the world and pursue and kind of like let your light shine. And so that was a cool message to get at the time, because I was, you know, kind of like I was just saying, more lost in terms of like, what am I going to do with my life?
Do you think that resonated with you since you said that was the one that still stands out in your mind?
Yeah, it resonated because it's nice to hear that, like, oh, it's nice to hear something nice about yourself or something good about yourself when you're not feeling that way at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's what was resonant. It was like, oh, wow, like, someone has something nice to say about me when I don't really have anything nice to say about me.
Yeah, and it's really hard. We seem to be our own hardest critics, which I hear very often. From that, how do you think your spirituality and your drive to become a tarot reader develop since then?
I didn't really think about becoming a tarot reader for a couple of years after that. I only really did it kind of on accident at first. I was trying to raise money for this like arts program for youth in my city. And I was like, shoot, how do I buy the art supplies? And my partner was like, just like set up at a bar and give tarot readings and like raise money that way. And I was like, I took a lot of convincing, but finally I was like, well, since it's for charity, people will be nice to me even if I'm really bad at it. So
yeah,
I guess I'll try it. But I found that I really liked giving readings. People seem to get a lot out of it. So I was like, oh, wow, this is cool. Maybe I should do this more.
And how long ago was that?
That was right before the pandemic. It was like February 2020.
Okay, so it's been quite a few years. And since then, you've done quite a few of those. What do you think that you doing that within the community has had a positive effect, or has created something within the community at all? Or do you have any regulars, or is it kind of a more people come for various reasons and you just happen to be there and it's because they need it?
Yeah, I mean, I have a monthly party at a bar in DC, Dew Drop-In, and that one has kind of become more of a community building aspect of it, because it's once a month, it's people come, they can do mindfulness coloring, books, they can make a witchy craft, cast a little spell that I set up. And so I try to make like some opportunities that are like free and that are like people sitting around the table coloring and meeting each other. And then in terms of like the readings themselves, it's definitely a combination of like people see me at an event and they're like, oh, sure, I'll try it. Or some people, I'm always like surprised when this happens still. They're like, oh, I saw that you would be here, so I came to get a reading.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they came for it. It's not just they stumbled upon it.
Yeah, so it's definitely a combination, but it's fun both ways too, because like last night even I was at a local bar and someone was like, oh, sure, I'll try it. And they were like, wow, I'm kind of speechless. Like, I really didn't expect anything from this, but that was like so on point and validating for me.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. And I love those situations. It's just like you're just casually talking to someone. They're like, whoa, like, this is just not what I expected. And like you were saying, when you had that star card pulled for you, it just hits different sometimes. So with your experience over the last couple of years doing tarot prior and post COVID, what would you say some of the most important things as a reader you would say that you've learned about tarot in general? Anything that you think people should know about tarot in general?
Well, in terms of like giving readings, you know, I think the biggest challenge for me and probably a lot of other people is not judging how the reading is going or how people are taking the reading, like while it's still happening, like as you're talking, because some people have Scorpio moons and they have great poker faces. So it's always Scorpio moons, which is funny to me. And so, yeah, just kind of being able to like put that to the side. But then, and tarot in general, I mean, I think it can be really fun actually when you pull a card, either for yourself or for someone else, that suddenly feels like it doesn't fit. Where like your immediate reaction is like, oh, well, like, what does this mean? Like, this is not clicking with how this reading was going, the themes I thought it was going with. And I think that's like totally fine to have that reaction because I still do all the time. And just kind of like still looking at the card and being like, okay, well, what could it be? And I feel like if you give yourself some space and time to like sit with it, you can start kind of like getting some ideas. And sometimes then it will click, or it will just be like, oh, this is an interesting path it's going down.
I agree. I don't do readings, but when I'm teaching people about different topics or just talking to someone, or a friend who I'll do a reading for free, like I was like, hey, take a picture of it. If things don't make sense of it now, it may make sense later because the message might not connect because you don't know what's going to happen. Or journal it or something like that. Because I've done my own readings and sometimes I'm like, okay, not quite sure. I've also had a situation with my sister, and there was a card that just didn't connect. And then I just kept researching, and I called her back. I was like, "I think is it, I asked her a question about something." She's like, "Oh, that makes so much more sense." So yeah, that's a very common theme. I feel like it is for people, and that's important too because it could force people to continue to think about things. Because even if things aren't quite always what they seem, it could help you just analyze what's going on in your life or what could go on. And that brings me into the thought of what sort of things would you tell someone or do you tell people when they sit down with you, either for the first time, just with you, or someone that has never had a reading before? How do you prepare those people for an experience that they've never had before?
I probably don't even do that much. Like, if sometimes people will say they're nervous, and I say, oh, a lot of people say that. Like, I totally get it. And that seems to like be enough for them. Or I'll just sometimes people are like, what do I do? And I'm like, oh, you don't have to do anything. Like, I always say you can ask a question if you have one, but you can also just kind of see what comes up. But yeah, that's kind of it. Then I just kind of jump into it. I don't give a lot of expose.
Do you have a favorite spread that you use, or do you go a little bit more intuition based? And when you read, do you go off of a certain deck or certain symbols? Do you What style of reading do you use? Like the modern tradition, Smith-Waite deck meanings? What sort of details do you kind of process when you're going through your interpretations?
I use a lot of Smith Rider-Waite based decks. I was joking with my friends today. I was like, I think I have all of the Liminal 11 decks now. I have like five of their I love their stuff because they a lot of the decks keep a lot of the Smith Rider-Waite imagery. And I like it. So I forgot the rest of the question.
Do you have a intuition based, or do you go off of more of the traditional readings, or do you do a combination of thoughts that just come to your mind if the images are kind of cool, or do you kind of do a mixture of might not be exactly, because things can be different. I've had times when I've pulled a card, it's like, well, traditionally this type of card means this, but I'm getting a feeling it could also mean this.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a combination. Because there's some cards that I think I read very differently than other people, like especially knights. To me, knights feel like they're talking about our own energy and like how we're approaching a situation. But I know a lot of times, like knights, as and court cards in general, are like other people or yourself. But yeah, so that's kind of like one example of me being like, oh, to me, they really feel like this. But then there's other ones where I do really appreciate the traditional meanings. Like I have the Three of Swords on my desk right now. And I feel like that one is just, it'd be hard to be like, it's anything other than like heartbreak or loss or something like that, with the heart being stabbed with three swords.
Yeah, that kind of seems a little straightforward when you look at it visually. It's a little hard to have any other meaning to it. That doesn't feel like it would be a very good feeling with that. But so you've been reading for quite a few years now, and if someone is new to tarot, what recommendations would you give them, either book recommendations or just how to learn them or practice or how to kind of like guide themselves? Because it could be very nerve-wracking because it's a lot of cards, a lot of meanings, and if you're new to tarot in general, it could be very confusing.
Yeah, and the book that I still go back to and I need to like re-listen to again is the 78 Degrees of Wisdom mm-hmm. by Rachel Pollack. It's a classic for yep. a reason.
I have that too, yeah.
I'm excited too because Matt Oren is coming out with a new book about tarot that he like just announced.
I see that. Yeah, it's on pre-order. It's about to be on pre-order.
Yeah, so that will be really cool too because, I mean, all of his books are great. And then, like, the way I learned initially, too, was, like, my friend heard that I was getting into it, and he was like, I've been doing it for 16 years, like, I'll teach you it. But so we, like, went outside, and he, like, had a little tarot deck, and he would just, like, pull a card, or I would pull a card, and he'd be like, what does it mean? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, look at it. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, it was like a funny memory, but you know, it's kind of like that where I really like to encourage people to just really look at the cards, look at the artwork, and start getting your own personal associations mm-hmm. With them, and like looking at the story that they're telling, because Pamela Coleman Smith, who illustrated the Smith Rider Waite deck that mm-hmm. a lot of decks are based off of, you know, she had like an illustration background, so they really read like a graphic novel.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. So I feel like they tell a lot of story without necessary, like sometimes it's nice to look up definitions, mm-hmm. but they also tell a lot of story if you kind of give yourself space to look for it.
Yeah, there's been times when I've done readings for friends, and I'll go through it and go through multiple sources to kind of give them some alternative interpretations, because some things may connect a little differently, one definition or another. But I'll be like, also look at the card. Say, let's talk about the Tower card. It doesn't seem like a very happy card, but for some people, it would probably scare them, and some people would be like, it's not as bad as it seems, or it, like, that sort of chaos is normal to them, so it's nothing new. So people can have different reactions to the same cards, and the symbolism can connect to people differently. And I do feel like the symbolism in the Smith Rider Waite one is such a classic, and I personally recommend that being a starter one that people use, because there is so much beauty in the artwork. And so much you can go off by just looking at the card.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I feel like I need to be sponsored by Liminal 11. Because that's going to be the second time I'm mentioning them. But yeah, and like their decks too, I feel like are so inspired by them too. And they kind mm-hmm. of modernize it. So they're more relatable. So I like using both too in that way.
Yeah. Would you say you have a favorite card out of the Smith-Waite, or just in general, even if it's not that style, a card that you connect with more, or one that you just like seeing in a reading?
My favorite two, well, I have like three favorites, but
yeah.
I really like the Fool card.
Mm-hmm.
That one's great. I mean, I feel like it's always good. Like, I don't know. Especially it's fun when you pull it in readings because people are like, oh, I guess I am a fool. And I'm like, no, that's not exactly what it's talking about.
Yeah, so maybe if it's reversed, but it also depends on what you're doing. But yeah, that's a good card. I was just going over that one last night for an episode that just came out, and I didn't realize how cool that card was until like reading it in a more like academic sense versus just in a spread when you're focusing on so many different aspects. Yeah. Yeah. And you said you had two more that you really
Oh,
like?
yeah. I really like the world card. I think of the world card as being about like this idea of wisdom or like Sophia. And so to me, that card is like really beautiful. It's also beautiful to look at. But yeah, it's kind of nice the way the Fool card and the World card play off of each other because they're both kind of like a neither beginning nor ending. They're kind of very like cyclical. And so I like that.
And what would the third one be you mentioned?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Star card, because of, I think, I guess the reading I got in Salem. And I'm like, yeah, that is. And well, and my Chiron, which is an asteroid, my Chiron is in my fifth house. And the fifth house is about like self-expression. And Chiron is like something that you struggle with, but you can kind of like overcome and help other people overcome that similar obstacle. So I definitely feel that with like self-expression. And so to me, the Star card is about like visibility and like allowing yourself to be seen. And so that's kind of always my card where I'm like, all right, that's what I'm going for.
A good reminder. And okay, so we've gone over a little bit about your history, your favorite cards, and when you go out and give these public readings, do you ever have any interesting experiences with the public or on social media? Because for some people, this topic is still very taboo. Even those who are interested in witchcraft, sometimes divination can get this strange reputation, or the fact that you may or may not bring energies, or you don't know who you're talking to. Do you ever get a weird reaction from the public or social media? That's not necessarily in a positive light. And if you do, how do you deal with that situation?
It's definitely more negative online, which is probably not surprising to anyone because I think we all know everyone's says meaner things with the safety of anonymity. With that, I kind of have fun with it, honestly. I just like typing "I disagree" over and over again because kind of
Straight to the
like.
point.
Yeah, like our kids, like, how can you? It's not, I'm not even arguing that they're wrong or like we're not getting into like details. It's just like, oh, well, I disagree. And then they can't really go anywhere from there, you know?
For those who may be nervous about getting in the tarot or want to, and they've been told things like, you can't buy your own deck, you have to be gifted, or it's cultural appropriation, or is it evil? How would you help guide someone into it to kind of help release some of those stigmas or that scarediness, scarediness, not even a word, that fear? Scarediness, fear of something that they may have been told was bad growing up, either from previous religious experiences or just reading some really bad information.
Yeah, I mean, I think I get a lot of people still talking about the you can't buy your own deck or you can't buy your first deck. I found, I can't remember the name of the tarot reader, but she had written a blog about how she had tried to do a deep dive, trying to figure out where this notion came from and like could not find anything. And it was like, I guess it was just like a rumor that got started in the 70s or something. So I always just say that there's like no one really knows where it comes from. Yeah, for like the religious hangups, I mean, it's interesting because I've given readings to people before at events where like their friend is like, "What? You're getting a reading? She's Catholic." And they're like, "Whatever, I'm gonna try it." So I think it's kind of like, you know, I'm okay with people coming with baggage and like being scared of it and being nervous. I think once people actually get a reading, that's like the best way for them to know that it's not that scary or
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
and so I think too, if you're trying to learn it and you have some baggage, that's okay too, because I think that I don't know, it's that's so complicated untangling it. So I don't even know if I have the best answer for how to do that.
Yeah, and it can also depend. And also our area is hit or miss for certain things, and but there is a large openness compared to other maybe local areas, or if you go a couple hours south, if you get some very different reactions. So maybe it's also just where we are in the country. There's so much diversity in our area, and that probably does help, though.
Yeah, people generally, I feel like in this area, know that to just, like, be respectful of other people, hopefully.
Yeah, for the most especially part. If you're getting a tarot reading in a bar on a Thursday night.
Right. It's definitely not the most, like, you know, I don't know, crowd that might have a problem with it.
Yeah, okay. And that's great that you haven't had too much of that, because that's one of the reasons why, because I'm just on the internet, I don't go out and do public things, why I keep things private is just like, one, I don't want to deal with all that. And two, it's just like, how do people deal with people sometimes when they're just like saying things that you're just like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you can get it or you don't need to get it. Like, you don't need to be talking to me. Do you want to? Like, what's your point? What point are you trying to make here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at events, like, if people have those feelings, they normally just walk by. So, yeah, I haven't dealt with someone who's, like, been weird and, like, gotten upset or something.
That's good.
Yeah.
Would you say when people are either doing readings for themselves or others or just getting a reading, do you have any cautions you would caution people about when coming into something, either on a personal level or just an experience in general?
Yeah, I think it's really important to, because I'm anxious, you know, I can get anxious and paranoid. So I always try to, you know, if it's kind of that thing, like if tarot is making you more anxious, more paranoid, like maybe take a break from it or like, you know, just, like explore that some. Because it definitely, I think it's a tool that can be very like inspiring and insightful. But, you know, if it's not doing that for you, it's okay to just maybe take a break for a while.
Yeah. Exactly. Because we don't want anything either on a witchy sense, magical or divinatory. Anything that brings you more stress probably is not something you should be doing all the time, because it should be an insight, but not something that literally makes your life harder and makes you scared. I know, like, people probably still do this, is like they have to read their horoscope every day. And if it's negative, they like won't leave the house, or they base their entire day based on this one newspaper's horoscope. You don't want to live life like that, because that just isn't fun. That's not a good quality of life that you want to lead into.
Yeah, it's like interesting to like look at stuff like that. But I feel like there's always the balance. Like a few years ago, we had the like record-breaking low temperatures in December in our area, and my dad really wanted me to come to his like mountain house in Pennsylvania, but I was like, okay, well, my brother who's driving just has like a normal car, like not four-wheel drive, he doesn't have experience in the snow, really, you're on an icy mountain. But then it's kind of fun to add in the astrology where I'm like, okay, and we're both Aries risings, and Mars is in our third house of travel, like two Aries risings with a sign that is about accidents, you know, like car accidents, being in our house of travel during an ice storm. I think we're going to sit this one out.
Yeah, and it's also a safety thing. You're like, everything seems to line up. It might be a little chaotic. Yeah. So you've mentioned things associated with astrology a lot. Are you really into astrology?
Yeah, I think I consider myself like intermediate at astrology. So I like study it, and sometimes I do a little bit like basic natal astrology alongside my online tarot readings. But yeah, I definitely am not like expert level.
Yeah. Okay. And do you ever combine that with the readings when working with other people, or do you kind of do it as a separate thing?
Yeah, I combine it, especially with like my longer one-on-one readings. I'll like pull up someone's chart. And especially because a lot of the, I mean, there's definitely an astrology sign attached to each card. And I don't actually know all of them. I only know, like, the major arcana.
There's so many details.
But, yeah, you can get really into it and, like, know the specific, like, decan, which is, like, the degree of, like, each card, like, all the minors. But I stick to the majors. But, yeah, like, the devil's on my desk right now. That one's Capricorn. I have the Lovers, that's Gemini. So sometimes when people have specific placements or placements that line up with the cards that are showing up, like we can kind of talk about that and like whether that's pointing to like their moon and like their emotional life or Venus with their relationships. And so sometimes it adds another cool layer.
Okay, that's really cool, and I do think in some cases that's really important because sometimes those are the details that may be popping out to someone, and it's not always just the regular definition because maybe it does connect with their personal big three or something that they're doing or the house that they're in. So if people do have the time to do their own readings and maybe look into having your natal chart done or one of the apps, or if you've already had it, maybe analyze that a bit because it could just provide that extra little oomph that you may be missing and you're like, I don't know, there's something I can't figure out. Yeah. Okay. So before we get wrapping up, how can people find you on social media? What are your tags or little last things you would like to bring up before we wrap up?
I'm on Instagram, well, actually all the things basically as Sky Mirinda Tarot. It's not Miranda, but I understand it gets confusing a lot of times. Yeah, last things. I get a lot of people asking about how to get started giving readings like at bars like I do, and I always say just email them. And people are, I mean, some people won't be into it, but like we were talking about earlier where nobody's given me a hard time in person. Depending on where you live, of course, but I feel like people are more open to it than you might expect.
Okay, well, thanks. And I appreciate you coming on. I've been, like I said, I've been following you for a little bit, and I was like, she's really active. She's really like making this something for the area. And I find that very valuable because I don't feel like enough people have that opportunity or to see that people do go out and do things, and it can be a part of your life or your local community, and it doesn't have to always be complicated or over the top. And you just describe the little things that you also have for those events with doing the little spells. It's just little things that to help bring a community together and make people feel good and educating them. And I think that's really important, and I appreciate that. I'm not sure if anyone said that to you. I appreciate what you're doing for the community and just the little things just to kind of spread information and helping people just through readings.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. But thank you everybody for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions for her or you want to reach out to her, I will tag her social media in the episode description. So again, like I say every week, I appreciate every single one of you, and have a great rest of your week. Blessed be.